You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm back with you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And folks, there's no offseason for volunteering, so we're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in their local communities. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second after further review. Still to come, John in Youngstown, we will get to you. But a little bit of news to break here for you, or at least I can't confirm this, but it is being reported all over the internet. And first of all, this one I can't confirm. The Oakland Raiders have tweeted they've named Tony Sparano as their interim head coach. That is one thing. Now, as it relates to the Browns here, this is being reported by Adam Kaplan on Twitter, amongst others. And the agent of the player in question also is saying this on Twitter, saying the Cleveland Browns have just signed long snapper Charlie Huglett to their practice squad. If I butcher his name, I apologize. Could be Hewlett to their practice squad. He worked out for them last Thursday. Knowing that Christian Yount had some problems, Matt, and knowing for Christian Yount, what is this saying when they're, you know, okay, we're bringing in a long snapper, putting him on practice squad? You don't have many long snappers on the practice squad.
No, there's not. That means it's a point of emphasis. And for Christian Yount, he's on watch. You know, and because now what we're going to see is they're not going to bring a guy in and they're going to give him reps. You know, Yount will take three reps. He will take two, you know, and also two because he's, you know, coming off the streets in most cases. They're going to do everything they can to catch him up. So it means coming out before practice, staying after practice, rep. And I'm sure Pettine and Farmer and, you know, and Coach Torbor will be in tune to what is exactly going on with him, because if they feel like it's an upgrade, you know, and I do also too, not only is it the snap, it's the snap and protect and the snap protect and cover when it comes to the punt. But it's that's got to be evaluated too, but I'm sure he's going to get reps. He's not just a body. You don't take a skilled position in this case, or a valued offensive or defensive lineman off of practice squad and reintroduce a practice squad long snapper for no reason.
So this is basically to Christian Yount, they are saying
you are on watch.
Be perfect this weekend or you might be
correct.
Out.
Absolutely.
A lot of pressure. Hope Christian comes through. Good guy here. And certainly you want to see that special teams part of this all cleaned up. But the pressure has been applied. The Browns, stay tuned to the Browns website and the Browns official Twitter to confirm that. But again, Adam Kaplan has reported it, as has the agent of the long snapper signed to the Browns practice squad. Let's go to John in Youngstown now. John, welcome to CBD.
Hey, thanks for taking a call. Good show. Enjoy your input.
Thank you.
I agree with the special team stuff. You know, here's the thing where we have to grow. You know, I've been around football myself. In the Steeler game, the first thing I would have told the kick returners is don't put yourself in a dangerous position to give that crowd the 12th man by returning two kickoffs 9 yards deep in the end zone. And I would have told that kid last Sunday, make sure you catch the ball. Don't let nothing bad happen to put us in a bad moment.
No question.
Okay. And then in the New Orleans game, remember when the New Orleans was on the 8-yard line before the half? Well, that pass to Graham, that alley-oop, I like to have a dollar for every time Breeze and him practice that. The play there was they should have let him go 3 yards and held him, tackled him. Take him out of the play, move the ball on a holding penalty to the 4-yard line. You got 3 or 4 seconds. Now, if you don't make the play, you can't kick the field goal and probably force him to kick the field goal. Now, that's what I got to say, and I want to hear your input. And, hey, and thanks for being a Browns guy. You have a good day, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it, John. I think he's right on the special teams thing. We talked about that. Travis Benjamin, I wonder if he'll be back there to return punts, because he looked – to me, what I took away from that was he was not confident in his ability to catch that football, because you don't let the ball – you've played special teams. Have you ever been coached to let a ball bounce at your own 22?
No, you have not.
No. Unless you are way back. I mean, there's just really no scenario unless maybe you were standing at your 40 and they boomed an 80-yarder out of their own end zone. But other than that, no, not when you should be there to return to catch that ball, and that's all they need. And that was a huge tilt in the field position. with the way kickoffs are now, where most of them go in the end zone, returners want to make an impact. They want to find a way. It's a delicate balance, though, because we're seeing so many teams, and New England did this last night a couple times, and they keep starting their own 14, their own 13, their own inside their own 10, and it puts a lot of pressure on your offense and changes your play calling right out of the gate. Just take it at the 20 sometimes.
It definitely does, and that's where, in some cases, why you see certain teams, you know, let it bounce through the end zone, or you catch it and immediately take a knee. I'm sure these guys are coached to either catch it and come out or stay in. It's not really a judgment decision in the player's mind, to me personally, because it makes no sense, because you're banking the fact that how often are these guys returning it up to the 50 or hitting that home run? Very few and far between it. You're more likely to get tackled inside the 20, you know, because the average return's like 24, you know, 25 yards, which means if you're taking it at the goal line, yes, you want to bring it out. Or just 2 yards in, because you're going to exceed the 20-yard line. But when you're 9 yards deep, you know, you're having to go 29 yards to get to that starting point, which makes zero sense. Then also, too, ball security comes into play. You know, a big hit, a forced fumble, whatever, when you can stay in there and just start at the 20, makes all the sense in the world. And as you said, it's you change your play calling as well, you know, when you're backed up that way.
For punts, typically, if you're at the 10, for example, when somebody's kicking it down into the red zone, you're at the 10. If it goes over your head, you're going to let it go. And you catch at the 10. There's a point of demarcation. Why are you surprised that there isn't a point of demarcation in the end zone if it's more than 5 yards deep? Hey, let's
there
just take
be.
A knee.
That's a great point. And I also too, I think it's you also have to evaluate the team. Is if they're a good coverage unit and the ball's kicked deep, you're obviously going to stay in. But if they've given up some runs, and that's where that coaching point comes into play in Travis Benjamin's mind or whoever the returner's mind is, hey, these guys have given up some big ones. I'm going to take – or coach said I could take this chance. But if it's a true judgment decision on the player's behalf, you know, which I don't think it should be, you know, that's up in the air and very, very questionable.
It is very questionable. And so far through 4 weeks in the NFL season, just to give you kind of an idea, there isn't a single returner in the NFL that has had at least 15 returns. The most, obviously, Jacksonville and Oakland. They've got 14 and 12. So teams aren't really bringing it out much. Only two return touchdowns on the season in the NFL, C.J. Spiller and Chris Polk with the two of those. For the most part, teams are averaging kind of just a little over 20, and depending on where you take it out from, that's going to determine where you start. But I'd rather have the ball at the 20 free and clear than risking it there in special teams, which have not been special thus far for the Browns. All right, it's time to bring in our producer today, Matt Fontana, for a little after further review.
After further review.
Afternoon, guys.
What's up, Matt?
Number one area the Browns needed to address over the bye weekend was what?
I'm going to go the number one place, number one thing that the Browns needed to address was obviously their offense or their defensive line and that defensive front, you know, and as you said, Nathan, you know, stopping the run this week and making this offense full of, you know, inadequate offensive weapons, a one-dimensional team. I think it'll be a heyday for our defensive linebackers rushing the passer and our DBs getting that ball and getting some pick sixes.
To me, it's about run defense, run defense, run defense, and run defense. Stop the run. The Browns need to continue. If they continue to give 5.5 yards per carry, they are not going to be in the situations that this defense is built to be in, and you want to be able to rush the passer against the Titans who've given up 11 sacks to force them to throw you the football. They've thrown 6 picks. Let's go. Stop the run. Let's get after Jake Locker.
After further review...
Guys, it's hard to ask this question with the starting running back, but it bears to be asked, how will Ben Tate fit back into the running game with the Browns?
Oh, I think he'll be fine. I think, as I said earlier, I think he's going to run extremely hard. He's got a point to prove that this is my position. I am the starter, and his play will qualify himself as the starter moving forward as well.
I think that he will be the starter. He will come in as well right behind, you know, in third down situations, right behind Brian Hoyer or alongside Hoyer for his pass pro, his pass catching abilities. I think he's going to fit in very well. This is a guy who's averaging 7 yards a carry. This is a guy who over the last 4 years is top 10 in the NFL in terms of yards per carry. Ben Tate is an effective running back and a good one. He will be the starter when he comes back, and you're going to see Isaiah Crowell work in with him as well as Terrence West, but I think it's going to be more Ben Tate than anybody. Then you're going to see Crow number two, and number three bringing it up will be, in fact, Terrence West. But this is a very talented and deep backfield group. But Ben Tate will be the starter and the most productive back, certainly in the near future.
After further review.
You guys just mentioned a little bit Oakland firing their head coach Dennis Allen last night. Tony Sperano most likely going to take over. Guys, if Mike Pettine had to miss a game, who do you think is most qualified on the Browns coaching staff to take over on an interim basis?
Wow. I would say it would have to be one of the coordinators. And in this case, because of the relationship with Jim O'Neill, it would probably be Jim O'Neill in my eyes.
That's interesting. I would go with Kyle Shanahan because I think he's got coaching in his blood, obviously. He could call on his father about how to be a head coach. He's done a great job with the offense right now. But let's just keep Coach Pett fine. I don't even want to talk about that. Coach Pett is here to stay. His visage is up on the wall here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. So Coach Pett's not going anywhere. But if I had to go with one, I would say Kyle Shanahan. Or maybe we would go and we dust somebody off and keep, you know, everything else intact. I don't know. Maybe the kid will come in and coach the team. Who knows?
After further review.
Guys, Monday Night Football last night, the Patriots looking very unpatriot-like. Is the Tom Brady era in New England over?
I don't think it's over. I think it's past its prime, you know, but we've seen many athletes, both in every sport, basketball, baseball, football, continue to play at a high level past their prime. And I think Tom Brady's got a good couple years left under his belt.
The Tom Brady era as the quarterback of the Patriots is not over, but the era of the Patriots being the dominant team in its division and in the conference is over in my mind. I saw enough to think that they are going to struggle to be the team that they have been, you know, consistently winning 10 games every year. Now, maybe that's the way they want it. Maybe that's the way Bill Belichick wants it. He wants the us against them mentality. Nobody believes in us anymore. Everybody's writing us off now. It's a very proud group. But what I saw was a team that has serious issues on the offensive line, a serious dearth of talent out wide, and Tom Brady right now not playing his best football. I thought I started to see deterioration in his accuracy last year, and it's gotten worse this year, and they don't have anybody to stretch the field, give him room on those underneath routes. The defense has not been as good as advertised. I think it ultimately will be good, but this is a New England Patriots team that I think is no longer a threat to emerge from the AFC. That's the hot take, and I know it's a quick overreaction, but I believe it's true. I thought I saw too many holes in the New England game for them to be a team coming out of the AFC and getting through a San Diego or a Denver.
After further review.
Final one, guys. The Brownies on their bye weekend, and I'm sure a lot of them scattered to the far regions of the world. If you guys had your bye week, what's the number one vacation spot you would be heading
to? If I was in the league, if I was a player.
If you were in the league, a player, you're getting on a jet, where are you telling them to take you?
Well, given that the bye week happened at this time of the year, September, where the weather is still going to be very nice in many parts of the country, I think what I would like to do is go down to Scottsdale. I love Scottsdale. Maybe play a little golf, stay at the Sanctuary, go eat at Marcelino's, get a little Italian food, and hang out. That would be a place that I would, first thing that popped into my mind anyway, that I like to do. Otherwise, I'd probably go to Italy and go to Florence and eat, but I feel like that'd be bad for my physical fitness.
Yes, it would. And also, too, something that goes into effect when you choose to travel on the bye week is logistics and geographics. Like, you don't want to go too far back or too, you know, or different countries. So you got to figure, if you're leaving Cleveland, if I were in
you
Cleveland,
went to Mexico.
From San Diego.
Okay, fair.
Right?
True. Good point.
But so if I'm in Cleveland, I'm doing Miami, or I might do the Bahamas. You know, those are probably the two most feasible, warm, semi-exotic type of places you can get away with and get back in time for meetings.
Is it important to be somewhere, though, that has a nonstop flight option?
Not necessarily. No.
You wouldn't mind connecting out of the Bahamas, per se?
In September, that's okay. You know, as we creep closer into the bad weather or hurricane season, definitely a bad idea.
Definitely would be a bad idea. All right, there it is. Is that all of them? Is that all five?
That's it, guys.
That's our five-pack here on After Further Review. Matt, thank you very much. We've got some more tweets in here. Basically, to sum up, people think that they want to see Jordan Cameron step up on offense for the Browns. At the Cleveland Sports Fan, I said Delanie Walker is the one who scares him the most going forward for the Tennessee Titans, and I would agree with that. But I want to turn my attention now to something special that's happened here in the Dog Bowl in Berea today. Matt Wilhelm brought his championship rings in, one with the Ohio State Buckeyes, the other is Super Bowl Bowl championship ring with the Green Bay Packers. Very cool. It's awesome. As you said, those are things that nobody can ever take away from you. And I got to tell you, that Green Bay ring weighs like, it feels like 5 pounds.
It's like a lug nut.
It is pretty impressive. It is like a lug nut, a diamond and jewel encrusted lug nut. But what was really cool to me about that ring was inside of it was transcribed some words from a speech that Charles Woodson gave the team after the Chicago game that got you guys into the playoffs that year.
It was, and it's Charles Woodson is an amazing leader. Although he comes from the school, up that school up north that we don't like to talk a whole lot.
They're struggling so bad.
They are struggling so bad. It's laughable now. But yeah, it was. Charles got hurt in that Chicago game, wasn't able to finish the game, and came back and got hurt very early in the Super Bowl, if you recall. But it was his message to us, because we were a team, we were a 6 seed. We had to win to get in. We had to win out to get in. We went on the road. We were the Road Warriors, at Philly, not an easy place to play. We went, to Atlanta against that football team with Matt Ryan having an amazing, I think they were 13-3. They had an amazing year.
They were the first round.
Yeah, number one seed, I believe.
In the second round, yeah.
In the second round, went to Atlanta, tough place to play. And then again, against a bitter rival in Chicago Bears. Against a team that we actually beat to get into the playoffs, and we win that football game. And it was an amazing experience, one that I hope a lot of these players in this locker room get to take part in, unbeknownst to them, whether it's with the Browns or not. And for me, it's an experience. It just happened to be in one of the most storied franchises in NFL history with the Green Bay Packers, a life experience that I can never regret, never forget, and something that I got, more so than any, I got to experience with my family. So my mom and dad came in, my wife and my 2 children were at the game. I told my wife, spare no expense. I go, my children would be there. So
let's go
get right. whatever babysitters or nannies or whatever you need for you to be able to focus. My kids will be there. And after the victory, and I'll show you, Nathan, off air. We'll talk about another day, but it's just amazing photos of my kids playing in the confetti
it's
on
awesome.
The field with me in uniform. It was awesome. Very special.
So if you had, obviously from the ring standpoint, I think that the Super Bowl ring is much nicer than the Buckeyes ring. No offense to the Buckeyes ring, which is nice.
Right.
But it's a different level.
I answer that question all the time. The Green Bay Packers one by far and away blows away the national championship ring, but what the national championship ring means to me, being from Ohio, an Ohio kid, playing at Ohio State, and now residing back in Ohio, it means so much more.
You're a blessed man to have the national championship and the Super Bowl. If you could only have won one of them in your career, which would it have been?
I would have to say it'd have to be the national championship ring. Again, being an Ohio kid from Ohio, being a Buckeye, and what it represents to me being from Northeast Ohio and to the state, and also to the 36 years of Ohio State football that happened between the last time they got to feel what it felt like to win a national championship was very special as well.
That's awesome. Great stuff there, Matt, and certainly the ring's very impressive. You should take a picture. You should pop them up on Twitter
for
our listeners to check out there, because they are very cool there. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Tuesday as the Browns get ready for the Tennessee Titans this week. Ben Tate, we heard from him, also the head coach Mike Pettine, and certainly want to thank all of you for tuning in here to CBD. We broke down the entire offense of this Tennessee Titans team. Get into the defense as the week rolls on, the key matchups that you need to watch and look for. Don't forget to keep it tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com for all the latest Browns news and notes as well. And tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio, we'll be inside the Cleveland Browns. So certainly please check that out as well. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR for national champion and Super Bowl champion Matt Wilhelm. I am Nathan Zagura saying thank you very much for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
Home. I came to get down. I came to get down.